Welcome to episode 239 of Sports Geek. On this week's episode, I chat with Tim Hayden from Stadia Ventures about startups, sports, and innovation.
Welcome to Sports Geek, the podcast built for sports digital and sports business professionals. And now, here's your host, who's learning more about esports every day, Sean Callanan.
Thanks, DJ Joel. Yes, my name is Sean Callanan, and you are listening to Sports Geek. You can find the podcast at sportsgeekhq.com. You can also sign up for Sports Geek News at sportsgeekhq.com/SGN. And as always, you can join us at Sports Geek Nation by going to sportsgeeknation.com/connected. That's how you can join the community that's currently closed. But as a Sports Geek podcast listener, you know the special link, sportsgeeknation.com/connected, and join fellow sports executives from around the world with our weekly Ask Me Anything conversations with guests from around the world. Otherwise, you can contact me, Sean, at sportsgeekhq.com or via the social medias at Sean Callanan on most platforms or at Sports Geek. Before I get into my chat with Tim Hayden from Stadia Ventures, I just want to give you a bit of an update on the esports side of things. With the SG Esports business and Gravitas, we've had a pretty busy fortnight preparing our membership offer. We have now launched our membership offer for Gravitas, our League of Legends team. And it was really interesting developing a membership product for an esports team. We don't have any tickets to give away or to include. We don't have a regular home game like you would have for a football or a basketball franchise. So we had to be a little bit creative in what we wanted to do in building out a membership package. So we've developed the Gravitas Foundation membership, being this our first year. And we've got three different levels of membership available. You can check it out at gravitas.gg/membership. I'd love your feedback, especially those of you who are in the membership game. Give you a quick breakdown of the product. We've got the Gravitas Foundation Membership Gold, which is for someone who can attend the Melbourne Esports Open. We've got some VIP tickets in the Gravitas Fan Zone and some meet and greets with the Gravitas players and some events that we'll be hosting. And they'll be having access to that as Gravitas Foundation members. And then the key piece to our membership is our merchandise offering. So one of the key things we're doing for this season is rocking a new jersey for every single opponent. So we've got eight teams in the league, so we've got seven different jerseys available. So one for every different team. I have liked how the players have been putting out a jersey for every day of the week. So you get seven jerseys and obviously also get a membership hoodie, membership cap and membership t-shirt. So that forms a really big part of the membership. And then we've got some digital offerings where the fans can join our digital groups, both on Facebook and Discord, Discord being the Slack for gamers, as well as they can challenge our professionals to a game of League of Legends, which is a really unique thing to be able to connect them with the players in a one-on-one game or a custom game, and also get some coaching assets, assistance from our coaches, Vicarious and Juves. So please check it out, gravitas.gg/membership, I should say. Check out the membership video. We had a lot of fun pulling that together. Thankful to the team behind the scenes, Fawn, Jolie, Brandon, Reese, who helped pull that together, as well as all the players. And a special shout out to Mark at Epic, who helped do the photography on the for the shoot to get all of those shots of the players. So if you are listening and you've been following the story and you want to be part of the Gravitas Foundation member, you want to be a Gravitas Foundation member, happily have you on board. One of the pitches I am leading with in the esports space is we're very open to have fans from all around the world, in the same way I have podcast listeners all over the world. So if you want to be repping a Gravitas jersey, whether it be in Los Angeles, New York, Madrid, London, Detroit, Dallas, Perth, Brisbane. More than happy to have you on board. So please go to gravitas.gg/membership and sign up and get on board for some Gravitas glory. Oh, well, that's enough advertising of memberships from me. I want to get into this chat with Tim Hayden, who I met at SEAT in Dallas. He is from Stadia Ventures, and so we talk about startups, sports tech, and the growing space that is sports technology, and we also dabble in a little bit of esports. I hope you enjoy this chat with Tim Hayden. Very happy to welcome Tim Hayden. He is the co-founder and managing director of Stadia Ventures. Welcome to the podcast, Tim.
Sean, thanks for having me on, man.
Well, we've been connected by a few mutual connections and mutual friends and former guests of the show. We caught up last year at SEAT in Dallas. Do you want to give us a little bit of a background of how you've ventured into the world of sports business?
Sure. So my background is really starting out with UPS, United Parcel Service. Yep. I got introduced to sports business really through them getting deeply engaged on the sports sponsorship side.
Yep.
Eventually realized that that big brown was not for me. I was better suited for startups or small businesses. So I ended up joining a agency that really wanted to create a sports marketing agency. And so help them launch out theirs. And at the same time I was doing that, we were very lucky that we got tied in with the St. Louis Cardinals. And this is way back when, but Mark McGwire was going up against Sammy Sosa in the home run race.
Yep.
And so we were lucky. I was able to bring my dad actually to number 70. And during one of those at-bats, for lack of a better word, it was a bolt of lightning. It was after he jacked that 70th home run, realizing that, you know, as much excitement and energy going on in the stadium, the real best seat in the stadium was on your couch at home, where you had at that time access to everything, instant replay, stats, infographics. You had a fridge down one hall and a restroom down the other. And so part of my entrepreneurial ways was how do you bring all that back into the stadium? And so that actually became my first startup. And since that point of creating a group called Vivid Sky and the Skybox, went on to either help create or create seven different sports businesses. So everything from that mobile app platform for sports fans and stadiums to helping to launch out a couple pro soccer teams and eventually a pro soccer league. And that has kind of led us into Stadia and what we've now kind of pulled together.
And so now Stadia Ventures, one of the big parts of what you do is advise and run accelerators for these sports tech startups and take that experience. So how did Stadia Ventures get started?
Yeah, so there are two founding members, myself and a gentleman named Art Chu. As I mentioned, you know, my background is really, for lack of a better word, falling off the wagon and keep starting sports businesses and helping other sports entrepreneurs. And Art's background is, you know, helping to lead innovation for more of the corporate providers. So he was running innovation for Rawlings, so the baseball gloves, baseball bats, you know, baseballs. He ran that for 10 years. And before that, he ran innovation for Titleist, the golf club group and golf ball group for 7 years previous to that. So when we got together in St. Louis, it was really just a coffee, you know, good people coming together, always looking to just kind of keep expanding out the network. And that 30-minute coffee turned into a 3-hour conversation. And it was really more just a gripe session on his side saying, hey, you know, in his position, he's seeing thousands of entrepreneurs a year and 99% do not belong talking to Rawlings or any of the other big groups. They're just not in that, you know, position. And so he's trying to cut through the clutter while still doing his own job. And on my side, I'm like, man, I know five entrepreneurs right now that if they could cut through the clutter and get to the right decision makers, they could transform some of these larger organizations. And so we are very lucky, located in St. Louis, Missouri, right in the heartland of the U.S. St. Louis is the third largest accelerator city in the country. So the whole concept around accelerators and helping entrepreneurs truly move down the path and build their business quickly, I hate to say, but it's not been per se perfected, but there are so many different accelerators that we have so many different best practices and a lot of great track records. So we married the two together. We ended up saying, hey, you know, from our side, how do we pull in the really good entrepreneurs together with the really good industry folks. And as we all know, in sports, it's a shady industry. So when you come across really good people in the industry, you hold on to them.
Yep.
And then in our case, we've been lucky, both of us in the industry for 20 plus years. As we like to joke, we've made a lot of friends. We really haven't pissed anybody off.
Yeah.
And most of our friends have all risen through the ranks. And the common thread underneath is they all want to give back. They,
yep.
they really want to help the next generation, just like people help them. And yep. so that was the genesis of the accelerator program for Stadia.
Okay. And so what was the first program? What does a program look like if you're a startup and yeah, like what I'm doing sure. at SGE Sports and in that startup space and talking to other startups that have been through yeah. the program in St. Louis, what does this startup coming to Stadia Ventures and the Accelerator program applying, what should they mm-hmm. be looking for?
Sure. So I think whether it's us or anybody else, the first thing you got to look at is the network.
Yep.
Second thing you know, need to look at is what is the accelerator and the group around it really doing to help?
Yep.
And the third one is look at the results. I mean, at the end of the day, for a founder of a startup, you need to be looking at one, who can help you right now, but two, who can move you towards, and I always hate to say the end result, but how do you get to an exit?
Yep.
How do you actually fulfill your dreams and then allow you then to move on to the next stage and help that next generation as well? So for us, like I said, we've been lucky. Our network is about 6,000 strong on both the sports, esports, the business side of advisors that we can bring to bear.
Yep.
In our case, the program that we run, we're looking at companies that already have a product to market, are very close to it, and they already have traction. And that traction can either be pilot programs or they're generating revenue up to $2 million.
Yep.
And again, every company comes at it from a different angle, what we look at. Our position is even though we do have this fund, and this fund is investing in companies, we also, for the accelerator, we look at, can we truly help these companies? Can we surround this company with, 5 to 10 legitimate mentors that can help the founder improve on areas where they're weakest? And then the flip side is, from a biz dev perspective, can we introduce them to, 10 to 20 potential clients with one phone call?
Yep.
And so that is, our first barometer and kind of, decision gate for each of the companies that we're looking at. But our ultimate goal is we always refer, we're a global sports innovation hub. Our job, even though we have this accelerator and this fund that where we'll invest in, different companies, even if we cannot help these great entrepreneurs, we will push them to other folks in our network. And
yep.
that could end up being, Sportech Ireland or MLSE or the Dodgers Accelerator or,
yep.
one of so many hype that we were talking about,
yep.
just our goal is that this is a hell of an ecosystem. How can we help these entrepreneurs find the right place for them at that right moment?
So as a startup looking and getting in, there's sometimes you go in going, oh, I just want this one intro. I just want an intro to Rawlings because I've got a baseball type sports tech, mm-hmm. or I just want it. How do you, retrain some startups that come in with that, singular focus, thinking that's their big shot when there's
yeah.
a whole bunch of things that need to be worked on, and sometimes it's not that one shot. Sometimes it's a micro pivot, and it's actually a grassroots play, or it's a technology play, or it gets plugged in here. How do you sometimes throughout the accelerator help reframe and reposition some startups that came
sure.
in with a fixed position?
Yeah, Sean, I mean, that's a perfect segue. When I would say the vast majority of the companies, and we've had 36 companies come through our program so far. We've been around 4 years now. We're entering our ninth cohort. What I will end up saying is the mentors that surround each of these companies, so each founder gets their own 4 to 6 personalized handpicked mentor team. And again, everyone is a senior leader in an area where they are weaker. So the ability for the mentor teams to come together and help these companies figure out, okay, hey, there's some low-hanging things that we can definitely take care of, but where are you really situated for the future? And like I mentioned, with companies coming in with traction already, they're already seeing, some amazing things in certain areas, and our goal is to help them realize, yeah, but there's a bigger picture to this whole thing. And yeah, the founders may already be there. But then the second part is, okay, that's great that you identified it. Now, let's help you put a plan of attack together to get there. And then the third one is, let's bring the network to bear to actually get you there over this, you know, 7 live sessions, 14-week program. And then we joke about a lot where, you know, I'm half Italian, and in the U.S. Italian side, once you marry into the family, you never really get out.
Yep.
So even when you graduate the accelerator program, we're still with you. Our yep. network is still here to bring to bear until eventually you see your successful exit. And whatever exit looks like for each company is different, but we will always be here with our network, our mentor programs, and everything else to help these founders keep moving down their path.
And that's where it does become very important, that two-way. So it's not just a one-way the startups taking from the mentors. It's that alumni mm-hmm. cohorts working together. Have you had many cohorts yeah. sort of team up or find that there's a lot of synchronicity around what they're doing because they're both in the same sports tech space?
Yeah, well, part of the program is really situated so that the cohort is learning from each other. So peer reviews, peer debriefs really also allow the network to expand just within their own realm and also bounce things off of each other. Then the second layer is, like you said, which is, hey, we also have, in this case, 36 other portfolio companies. Some of them are going to be doing similar things. So when you mention, you know, Spock and Blinder out of New Zealand that have come through the program, well, they're already partnered up with several other of our portfolio companies in either working together on client engagements or, heck, in certain cases, they're sharing investors and stuff.
Yep.
So it really does, our goal with the accelerators, it really does become a family that everybody's looking out for each other. We're very big proponents, good, bad, and different. We're very big proponents on giving first.
Yep.
So it is, you know, how can we truly help each of these groups? And the number one question we get is, yeah, but what's your angle? Like, why are you doing this? And we're like, you don't understand. So many people have already helped us. Like,
yeah.
we already, in our minds, we've already seen some success. It's now how do we truly help accelerate these founders and move them down the line? And part of that is just working together within the cohort environments or the portfolio groups.
I do, as a startup and as someone who's spoken to startups in the past 10 years over the journey of Sports Geek, I do understand that what is the angle, because there is a whole bunch of different startups mm-hmm. that have different, I guess, entry criteria or yeah. pound of flesh. It's like, come into our yep. program and we'll just give us this chunk of your business. How does the application process work for Stadia Ventures?
Sure. So I'll start with the end in mind.
Yep.
So the end in mind is we will invest $100,000 into each of the businesses.
Yep.
And that's at the beginning of the program. Mm-hmm. When I say we're in, we're truly in. And
yep.
we're very lucky in that we actually have a co-investment partner called Hatcher Plus.
Okay.
Hatcher Plus is tied to the family office of the founder and CEO of SoftBank.
Okay.
So the goal is that we truly want to bring the investment side of the house to at least help alleviate a lot of the entrepreneurs' fears of, how am I going to keep running this thing?
Yeah.
And generate, you know, so that was the first level. And then the application process is, you know, we will open up our application twice a year.
Yep.
We run a spring program and we run a fall program, and both of them are tied to holistic sports, which
okay.
could be any type of sport. We joke that you define the sport and we'll say, come on in.
Okay.
So we'll have, you know, this most recent, we had yoga pants with haptic sensors. We've had motorized skateboards with patented system underneath that allows you to turn sideways and edge as if
okay.
you're on a snowboard.
Yep.
We have fan engagement. We have AI and VR and holographic technology groups. So our goal is we will look at anything sports oriented, and
yep.
also we'll look at anything esports oriented. And then from the application side, it's easiest just to go on our website, stadiaventures.com, to kind of see, okay, when is the next application window? But even more precisely, it's get in touch with us.
Yep.
We don't need application windows to start these conversations. Connect with us online, connect with us on LinkedIn, whatever you like, any way, because we're very, again, we'll have conversation with anybody and everybody to hopefully help move them down the pipe. And then once the application window opens, we'll end up with a couple hundred from all over the world. So our last application window that we just had, it was running about 60%, 40%, yep. meaning 60% from the U.S., 40% yep. being outside of the U.S. And we will use a group of judges, which are all like sports leaders, business leaders, to help us start to narrow the field from a couple hundred till eventually we get to the top 10. And then the top 10, we will invite in to either St. Louis, Missouri, yep. or Dallas, Texas, for a, and I'm not sure, you know, there's Shark Tank and there's Dragon's Den.
Yeah.
So it's a similar kind of mentality of, hey, come on in, pitch live in front of a group of judges. But instead of four sharks and four dragon, we'll have over 130 senior sports and esports leaders that fly in from around the world to sit on the judging panel to evaluate and help us determine who are the best companies? And again, not the best from an investment perspective only. Yep. Who can we truly help accelerate? Like who we know everybody's got flaws.
Yeah.
Which are the ones that we can help, you know, modify, accelerate their business while investing in? And over those 2 days of judging, these 130, you know, leaders, we'll also be getting to know the finalists. So again, the goal being, hey, you know, we don't keep it in a vacuum.
Yeah.
Our network is open to the world. It's you come on in to be, and if you do not get selected for the cohort, well, shit.
You're gonna have some good connections. You're gonna meet some right people, because even if you're not the right fit, or you're not the right time, or you're too early, or you're in a different space, it's that networking ability to meet people that might spark something else.
Yes, and the ultimate goal with it as well is that we always call ourselves Switzerland. So when you come in, the judges are, you know, the heads of innovation for Major League Baseball and NBA and NFL and team-oriented folks, all senior leaders. And then from the brand side, it's, well, here's Nike and Adidas and New Balance and Under Armour. And, you know, again, senior leaders all sitting around the table that in most instances should, you know, are, it's a fireable offense in certain cases to be seen together.
Yep.
And then it's, you know, you keep rolling through with, hey, well, here is the retired Major General of DARPA, which is the United States research arm for the military. And here is Justin Timberlake's business manager, and Nelly and Mark Cuban's business partner. And so it's a very eclectic group, so that, again, and you hit on it perfectly, even if you don't get selected, you now have these connections that could truly help you. And come on back, you know, apply again.
Yeah.
We had one company that has actually applied four times, made it in on their fifth attempt. And we would even tell them, hey, here's what we're looking for. And they went out and did it. By the fifth time, they made it into the cohort.
Yeah. And it's not a time sensitive thing. You're not saying, you've got to be, you know, early stage, you've got to be within your 3 years. It's just hitting the several of those factors to say, this is where you are, and understanding that where you can help them.
Yes. And like you said, is that, hey, you got to be the reason why we say, hey, you have to at least have some traction, pilots and others, is because if, you know, the head of front end, if the head of innovation partnerships for Under Armour says, hey, she'd really like to do a contract with you. Mm. Well, it's not going to take you 18 months to execute, or, hey, it won't bankrupt your company because there's not the infrastructure in place.
Yep.
So that's where we really like to leverage the network to help the company without killing them.
Yep. And then so the five founders or the five finalists that win, what's the next step? What's the acceleration period then look like?
Sure. So they will receive an investment of $100,000,
yep.
And then they will drop into this program, and we call it an immersive business development boot camp. So it is 14 weeks, and there are 7 live sessions. So it's every other week, and it is a Wednesday to Friday, like an executive MBA program in the States. So the companies would usually fly in on a Wednesday morning, and they would fly out on a Friday evening, because we also want to minimize the amount of downtime away from their teams.
Yep.
For the international companies, what we find is that they'll actually fly in for, you know, 2 sessions at a time. They'll fly in for 3 weeks, and then get back to their team. So meanwhile, while they're in town, we'll also be introducing them to other people in, you know, in Chicago and L.A. and San Francisco and New York, so they can actually be going on biz dev trips.
Yep.
And over the course of that seven live sessions, the mentor teams are embedded with each of the founders. Again, each founder gets their own 4 to 6 person mentor team. Not only do they get just the expertise on what they're weak at, we also identified that almost every entrepreneur, and this is me included, we're not the best at financials or numbers. So yep. each group will actually get their own CFO.
Okay.
Whether they have a CFO or not doesn't matter, but it's, here's the retired CFO of Rawlings.
Yep.
Here's the retired CFO of Enterprise Rent-A-Car or MasterCard who can truly help them with their financials so that when they are saying, hey, I need to raise $2 million, that you can actually follow the entire thread. Hey, it's to, hire 20 salespeople, and this is the result of this expense to this revenue figure, and when you bring it all the way down, here is why I need $2 million.
Yeah, that must be so valuable. Like, coming from my point of view, like, I can see the vision of what I want to do in the esports space, and what I want to build out in the digital media side, and what's worked in sports, and what's still there to be built in esports. But then, looking at the financials and saying, well, this is how many sales guys I need to fill those spots, and is that what the content production team will cost, and the costings of that. Has not been something that, that's not been in my skill set, because I've been big picture and creative, and this is what the vision looks like. And so I can sell that and understand that quite well. But it's, one of the benefits I've had is getting someone to look at the financials and say, is that really going to cost that? Do you really need that much money, or do you need more? It's been really beneficial.
And so true. We're all experts at specific things. And I think the number one quality of a really good entrepreneur is identifying where our strengths are, and then also figuring out how do we plug our weaknesses? How do we bring people in? And again, it's not a negative on anybody. And what we truly look for, as part of our evaluation is, are these founders self-identifying this kind of stuff? So that's so true.
And you mentioned a little bit with your vast mentor and advisor network. What do they get out of it? Is being part of the Stadia Ventures and then part of the program?
Which is a great question, because it comes back to what's in it for them. So the first thing is that they're all volunteers, and they actually have to sign a legal document saying they will not solicit.
Okay.
So if they're consultants or if they're service providers or whatever, they have to provide their services for free and access to their network for free for the duration of the program.
Yep.
And there is no – and part of it is because the founders are just getting to know us and trust us, and same with the network of the mentors. So the mentors are doing it for a couple reasons, and we tell all of them, because they're all really good people, come in with your selfish motive. Motivators. And their motivators are, on the one side, is they want to give back. Again, people have helped them. And this may be a Midwest in the States kind of thing, but everybody wants to kind of give back. The second one is they want to be challenged. They want to continually learn. So the chief marketing officer for Gander Mountain, which just went out of business, but it was like Bass Pro and Dick's Sporting Goods and others, was a mentor in this past cohort. And the first thing he said when he came out of the program was, I learned more from these guys than I have ever learned, or than I think what I gave to them.
Okay.
And the amazing thing, when you ask them, they're like, no, he literally turned their company around. So the ability for people to continue learn. The next part is the relationships are formed. So at specific times at the end of the program, we've had now in just the last year, we've had 3 mentors be hired by the companies, including Blinder and Spock, both hired one of their mentors.
Yep.
Because they now know these people, and they know the work ethic, and they know what can be accomplished. So it's almost like a date, like you're going on dates before you finally get married.
Yep.
And so the mentors know, hey, there could be an opportunity down the road. But in most cases, it really just comes back to they want to help. They really just want to see the next generation. They want to prove, hey, the communities really do rally around each of these companies. So it's a civic pride thing as well. But at the end of the day, we always have this, and I hope you're okay with this, we have this no asshole policy.
Yep.
And what it means is, only the good people come. And when those good people come, they will continually bring other good people. So they're in it for the right reasons. And that's what we look at from a mentor perspective. You may have all the experience and you may be brilliant, but if you're not a good person, you still don't fit our rank.
As someone who's served as a gatekeeper for a lot of sports executives around technology, they get pitched all the time, so it must be refreshing for them to go in without the knowing they're not going to be sold, be able to dive into something, because their defenses are automatically up when something hits their inbox and says, hey, big sports franchise, I've got this tiny little idea that I'm just starting out and I really want to work with your big audience. And so they're automatically, they're defaulting to no, so it must be refreshing for them to pull that away and at least dive in and find out what it might be, knowing that it might happen 2 years down the track, but it might. But they were able to say, actually, do this. That's actually a problem.
Sean, you're dead on. And even to the standpoint that now they're looking at the newest technologies, and underneath the hood, they see it's legit.
Yeah.
You know, the number one thing for any sports exec is if you make a bad decision, it will hang with you for a long time. Well, this, especially from an innovation perspective, allows them to see the best of the best and know that they can implement or at least invite in, you know, these kind of groups.
Yeah, because innovation can be a very dangerous word in a big corporate, because you can make a really big decision, a really bad decision really quickly, can't you?
Yes, yeah. Now, again, the other reason why we created this, our goal was if we can, rather than these companies, 1,000 of them trying to contact the CEO of U.S. Soccer, well, if we call up our friend who is the CEO of U.S. Soccer and say, hey, here's three companies that really think you should speak with, he's on the phone that literally the next day speaking with each of them, knowing full well it's already got the seal of approval or it's legit.
So at the end of the program, you have a graduation. You have a demo day at the end, and is that how much change do you see from the pitch day that you had at the selection period, where you had the 10 programs saying this is what we are, and then it's a bit of the swan coming out and being amazing. But like, what's the transformation you see over those 3 months?
I hate to say this. It is night and day. We just had, and again, we just finished our ninth cohort. Mm-hmm. One of our cohort companies in this last one called Go Wild just posted on LinkedIn their experience. And they said it wasn't in 90 days. They didn't go through an accelerator. They went through a rocket propelled grenade.
Yeah.
And they were already a successful business. What we end up seeing at the end, and actually I'll preface it with, hey, the judges all helped us select this. So we actually tie our demo day to the next finalist pitch day.
Yep.
So, and the reason why we do it is, again, to bring it full circle, we want the judges, those senior sports leaders that all flew in to be judges, to actually see, hey, how did this company change? Like, I selected Go Wild. Well, I know what they were like. What are they like now? And so it is amazing when we interview the judges, how dramatic. But it's also, in many cases, they've been involved in the process, so they kind of get a chance to see some of it. But for the investors, it's the most amazing thing to see, because you'll have investors that will come to, again, see the startups to potentially invest in, and they'll see them in the beginning. And when they see them at the end, it's such a dramatic difference, because, again, these companies are getting on stage with that financial experience now to say, hey, you know, I am raising this much. This is exactly what it's going to. Here's what my plan of attack is. Here is truly what my addressable market really is, and how I'm going to hit it. And oh, by the way, here are my milestones. Here's my traction. So it's not a grooming school. It's like an executive MBA program on steroids.
Yeah.
Really helping each of these companies get to the next level.
And so is the demo day, is that just really a showcase to say, hey, if you're a partner, if you're someone who wants to invest, or is there a prize, congratulations, you won, here's a check and a PR opportunity, or is it a bit of both?
Yep. So it's a bit of both. So we would have already invested on the front end.
Yep.
Now we reserve the right to do follow-on investing, but really it's through the life of the company. So it isn't just right at demo day.
Yep.
But what it also does is we open it to the public and we say, hey, any investor, any person interested, you know, it's really wide open. Come on in and check these companies out. In addition, it's also set up for our own existing investors in our fund to also be able to look at these companies, because honestly, they may go in deeper in several of them, and because they have their own specific agendas and their reasoning behind it. So for us, we see it almost like we're just setting the party. We're setting the table, and now let anybody and everybody come in. And then you'll end up with the judges, who, again, are all sports leaders, and they're like, well, I didn't realize, like FanCam.
Yeah.
Tinus LaRue from FanCam. So been around for 10 years, had ultra-high resolution photography. his bigger play right now is data. Yeah. And it is like teams are clamoring for this because it is now a true mechanism to allow the teams to really evaluate who's in the stands without having to do facial recognition, all the other stuff. It is a powerful tool that is now being realized as of he's been moving towards this for the last, let's call it 2 years. It's now being realized now. And a lot of it's because, hey, here are the companies and the sports groups coming in, taking a look at. So, again, we're like this. We come back to this hub.
Yep.
Well, we invite everybody and anybody in that are good people. Whatever happens, happens, which is awesome, because at the end of the day, we were able to help these startups move forward.
Yeah, I think that it's important on the pressure of a pitch night or a demo day, that kind of thing. Because sometimes, whether you go to a pitch night, whether it be at a stall startup meetup or for a demo day, and there is a who's wins, when really that's not the game we're in. We're not in the game to win pitches, pitch nights.
Yes.
And so, you can entertain and do a great pitch and win and get the fan vote. But the end game is... hey guys, I want this much money for this much equity, and this is what I'm trying to build. Like, that's the game we're in. So, novelty checks is not why you start your startup.
Exactly. Well, and we say it all the time. Mm. We can make anybody look pretty. Yeah. Once you start digging into what they're really doing, that's when the investors are really at their best. And so it's on the one side, the pitch day is really just about getting people excited about the companies.
Yep.
Then the hard work gets in. And hopefully we've done our job to help the founders dig through that whole, the hard work, so that when an investor really sits down and says, okay, due diligence time, let's get under the hood, that we have helped them better prepare for that moment, as well as obviously for the actual pitch day.
Well, thank you very much for coming on, learning more. I'd heard a lot from Ben Reynolds of Spork. After I last spoke with him,
great guys.
He's had Greg Norman be the lead investor in Spork. And then great to hear Tinnis part of it and FanCam being part of it. And the work that he's doing. We had a long walk in New York late night in New York last year talking about what he's doing, and it's very exciting the way his product keeps changing, but that the pivot into data and understanding who your fans are and being able to say, I can tell you who the fans are not that are not coming to your stadium anymore because we've got that data. Like, that's so valuable for people that are looking at why are the people leaving my stadium? Which is back to your original premise of sitting in the stands and going, Mark McGuire's hitting a home run and going, where are the fans going? People like Tinnis can now tell you.
That's exactly it. And honestly, the more startups, the better. So as you come across startups, as anybody that's listening has a startup, please do. Feel free to contact us. We've got an open door across the board. Even if you're too early or too late, doesn't matter. It's just, let's get the good entrepreneurs into the ecosystem. That's the key to the whole thing.
And the thing is, the sports tech startup space is so wide because it's not just pro scene, stadium type stuff like FanCam and Tinnis. It's media like Spork or helping the comms teams like Blinder or working in grassroots or the sports tech, like you're talking about skateboards and all that kind of stuff.
Performance and esports that you're in. It runs the gamut. Yoga pants now. It really runs the gamut that we look at.
Well, maybe we need to get a mashup where I get my esports gamers in yoga pants and we can start tracking how they're performing. This is where the type of collaborations you want to see.
Yes, well, there is a heck of a discussion going on already around that exact same thing. So we'll definitely want to talk about that more.
All right, I'm going to finish with the Sports Geek Closing Five. Do you remember the first sports event you ever attended?
Yeah, it was actually a St. Louis Cardinals baseball game with my uncle and my dad. We sat in the very upper deck, and in the bottom of, I want to say, the 12th or 13th inning, the backup catcher who had bad knees decided to steal home from third base. And everybody was beyond shocked, but yet he somehow made it. We won the game and eventually went into the playoffs because of that event. So that was my first experience in a stadium or at a sporting event.
Terrific, terrific. You would have been to a few games, probably in St. Louis, but also in other parts of the world. Do you have a favorite?
Oh, yes.
Do you have a favorite food memory? Like, is there a go-to food at a sports event?
So this is in a way kind of showing my age, but at the end of the day, I keep coming back to, if there is a good kosher hot dog,
yep,
that is my barometer for any stadium. So I wish I could say it's something exotic or other things. At the end of the day, I get back to my roots. I get back to the basic of give me a good hot dog.
Exactly. It's like, you know, you're at a ball game. So that's perfectly fine. What's the first app you open in the morning?
Oh, that's a great one. There's an app called Flipboard, and okay, Flipboard is actually a news aggregator, if you will. And I have it set up for sports. I have it set up for politics, which I hate to talk about, but I also have it set up for Tesla, which I love Elon Musk and SpaceX. So it's kind of the go-to first thing in the morning. I get all my news very quickly. But I will say, non-app oriented, if you haven't heard of Morning Brew, okay, I would check out Morning Brew. It is a very lighthearted look at everything that has happened over the last day, from business to stocks to everything. But it's such a great cliff note.
Is it an email or is it a website?
It is. It is an email. Yeah, okay. It is an email. It's called Morning Brew.
Okay.
B-R-E-W.
All right. I'll have to check it out. Yeah, I've flipped and flopped on using Flipboard. I haven't found it in my system, but I do know some people like Jen Van Dyke and Shane Harmon, you know, swear by it and, you know, read their stuff. And then do you flip it on other places so can people read what you've read?
That I don't know. That's a great question. I really haven't turned that on. That is an interesting one.
Yeah, so some people I know read it and then they put it in their own magazines. So effectively they become a self-curator, and if you wanted to read what they're reading, you can sort of trail behind. So if you're not doing that, I would highly suggest start setting up a sports tech reading list, and everyone can read what you're reading.
I will do that. That is a great idea.
Is there someone that you think the podcast listeners should follow, whether it's someone that you read or maybe a startup or a founder that you think's doing amazing things that they should follow, and why?
Yep. So I again, getting back to my roots, I absolutely love Malcolm Gladwell.
Yeah.
I love everything that he writes. I love everything that he talks about. It's just a completely different look at the same thing everybody looks at, but love his books. I mean, all the way from The Tipping Point, all the way through Outliers and all the other stuff that he's got going. But I truly appreciate a mind that looks at things differently.
Yeah.
Or at least expands my view on how to look at things.
Have you listened to his podcast?
Yes. Yeah, I am a fan.
I'm a fan of that. And then when he's on other people, like when Bill Simmons has him on the podcast, he's always looking at it from just another angle that no one else is coming at, and he's able to explain it. So succinctly, you're like, you know, yeah, I'm the same. Just love how his mind works and the angles that he takes on things.
So true.
Lastly, what social media platform is your MVP?
Oh man, so again, little old school, but I so love LinkedIn.
Yeah,
I love the power of connecting again, good people to good people.
Yep.
I love the ability to be able to get to almost anybody and expand your network very quickly with people that can truly help make a difference. But I think in my case, personally, in my case, I use it more for our cohort companies and our network than I do for myself.
Yep.
Because it's just, you know, getting back to Tinas and FanCam, hey, it's great to have an opportunity to connect in with somebody else who I may not have known, but somehow am connected to. So I do love LinkedIn for that, business.
Yeah, it's a pretty common answer, especially in the startup space, in the fact that it's become such a good business development tool. Well, it's used well.
Yeah.
Like you can't just be ping, 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 and hitting up everybody and expect a response. Is there a way that you'd like to be approached on LinkedIn if someone doesn't know you and they want to connect with you? Is there
just
a suggestion?
The unfortunate part is I am over 7,800 connections right now on LinkedIn. Yep. I will connect with almost anybody. Yep. Because again, at the end of the day, in our mind, it's how do we help everybody move forward?
Yep.
And so I tell startups all the time, just connect. I will accept your connection and we can start a conversation, more than happy to.
So my call to action for everyone listening is send Tim a LinkedIn message. Say, Tim, listened to you on the Sports Geek podcast. I'd love to connect.
Yes.
Then you at least know that they have listened.
Exactly.
It's actually good that, you know, and my call to action is tell Tim you listened and you enjoyed it. And that's why you started the conversation.
Yes. And Sean asked me to connect.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
But it's good. In 6 weeks' time, you'll be like, hey, Sean, so many people are listening. This is great. That's the main thing.
No, I think that's awesome. And then I'd be remiss to say, you know, Twitch and Twitter and, you know, all the other kind of social media platforms I think are great and in different use cases for each of them. But yeah, it really does come back to that LinkedIn and please do. Yeah. Have them connect.
I'll have your links in the show notes, but it's Tim Hayden, Hayden. If you're looking for Tim, uh-huh. He's very easy to find. We are connected. And that's pretty much, again, a lot of people say to me, I go to connect with someone and Sean's already connected. I'm like, then I'm doing my job right.
You are literally the mayor of, so yeah, I agree.
I try my best. So that's the place to find you. StadiaVentures.com is where people can find out about the program, about where to apply. Like you said, if you're interested, reach out. Please reach out and listen to and catch up with the cohorts I've spoken about. FanCam and Spork. We'll have links in the show notes. I was actually talking to someone in Spain about Spork. I'm going to introduce them to Ben today.
Awesome.
So, you know, it is a matter of making those connections. But thank you very much for coming on the podcast, and I hope to catch up in real life sometime soon.
For sure. Sean, I so appreciate you inviting me on. And again, you're doing amazing things with this, just to keep the message going and everything else and finding all these great groups. So please, you keep it up as well. So I appreciate that.
New workshops on audience, content, distribution, valuation, and pitch following SportsGeek's Digital to Dollars process. Go to digitaltodollars.com.
Thanks again to Tim Hayden. You can reach out to him via Twitter, Tim Hayden, T-I-M for Tim, which is easy, Hayden. So send him a tweet, tell him that you listened to this episode, or even better, reach out to him on LinkedIn and tell him that you've got a startup or you know of someone that he should be looking at. He's always looking at and wanting to know what smart things people are doing around the world of sports technology, and I know my listeners, like yourself, will be able to help him. So check out StadiaVentures.com, or you can go to the show notes for all of those links for this episode 239, sportsgeekhq.com/239. And while we are talking about pitches and startups, we have been, as mentioned in the conversation there with Tim, we've been part of the Hype University Queensland Spin Accelerator up in Brisbane. And July 10 will be our pitch day. So July 10, if you're up in Brisbane, come on down. Debs from Fox Sports, former guest from a couple of episodes ago, will be one of the speakers talking about what they're doing at Fox Sports and Twitter and a lot of the conversation we had on the podcast. But then you will hear from the cohort that is part of the Hype University of Queensland Spin Accelerator. The last 3 months we've been refining our pitch, and so I'll be looking forward to seeing my fellow members of the cohort, Bib, Heart, Bit, Movosity, Pool, Quipmo, Siren Media with Jason, a former podcast guest himself, SportsCube, Statter, Rory, who's also part of Sports Geek Nation. It's really great to have three members of Sports Geek Nation as part of this cohort, and Status Sport. So go to sportsgeekhq.com/hypepitch. sportsgeekhq.com/hypepitch. I'll put the links in the show notes as well. If you would like to attend that, if you're a potential investor or someone that works in the sports space that wants to know more about some of the up-and-coming businesses, please check that out, sportsgeekhq.com slash Hype Pitch. Hope to see you there. And you'll see us all pitching to win the prize that is put up for the best startup that has the most promise. So I'm looking forward to giving that a crack. Before I wrap up, as I've been mentioning recently, on offer are the Pick My Brain sessions, which are a two-hour consulting session that is done over GoToMeeting. So it is much like esports, a global product where I help you solve a problem that you have, whether it be something that you're looking to tackle, whether it be a new platform, developing a new product, or maybe even a new audience you want to tackle and find out more about what Gen Z and maybe the gaming audience is looking at. You could use the Pick My Brain session for that. Or you might just want to look and review a campaign, whether it be for a sponsor, for a ticketing campaign, or whether it's a new content initiative. You can leverage me and my experience and take it that extra 10% more and make sure you've covered all of your bases. You can book in by simply going to sportsgeekhq.com/pickmybrain, and you can book in that 2-hour session, pay for it right there on the spot, and we can get started. If you want more info, please send me an email, sean@sportsgeekhq.com. Until next episode, my name is Sean Callanan, and you've been listening to Sports Geek.
Follow our League of Legends esports team at gravitas.gg. For more resources, go to sportsgeekhq.com. Looking for new campaign ideas to drive new and fresh data and leads? Contact Sean to find out how Sports Geek can help you drive fans into your stadium. It's all about the cheeks in the seats.